Curious Minds asks the questions that might seem crazy, but when you look at the data, some things might not seem so crazy after all. For example, have aliens ever lived on Earth? Do you really want to know the answer? Crazy Curious Minds is not afraid to investigate the issues important to the survival of mankind, like extinction, aliens, world events, and the paranormal. Hosts Tony Tiora and Chad McKinney talk from locations on the opposite sides of the planet in search of the truth. Is the truth hiding in plain sight? Let's find out.
Welcome to Crazy Curious Minds. This is our, believe it or not, 10th episode, and it's called Alien Agenda. We're doing two in the first 10 related to alien. We think that the alien topic is kind of interesting. I'm your host, Tony Tiora, out of Sapporo in Japan. I have my co-host, Chad McKinney, in San Diego. How you doing, Chad?
Doing good, man. It's hard to believe we made it for 10 episodes, isn't it?
Believe me, we just almost didn't make it. And after the last episode, you know, review of me talking too much on the episode. But other than that...
Well, just so you know, Tony, I would never tell that to you face to face. I would only say it when I know you're in Sapporo and I'm in San Diego, and there's a plane ride distance for you to cool down.
It's not the first time that I've been told that I talk too much. Okay, but you're texting me, and I'm supposed to read text messages as I'm talking. You're like, shut up, and I'm like, I can't read it at the end of the meeting, and you're like, I didn't let Shofar talk enough, but.
You did good, man. It was a great episode, man. I think our viewers are going to enjoy the shit out of it, to be honest with you, man.
I think it's good. I mean, if they've continued on, they're listening to this one. So this is, you know, when you say we made the 10th one, we haven't done the 10th one. This is the 10th one, and it's not done yet. We're actually creating it. So who knows what could happen? Maybe the government will, like, come in with black helicopters and, like, shoot you because, you know, your address is listed on the website, but mine's not. So
it's a PO box. Or that it's an agent of service address. Don't worry. We got this one in us.
So, you know, for the alien agenda topic, yeah, this is the one that I came up with. So I know you're going to say, Tony, what was the plans on this one? But did you do any homework on alien agenda, or were you too busy surfing in San Diego? I'm just curious.
It was pretty good surfing out here. I'm not going to lie to you. I did a little homework for our first episode. So I think I still have some notes from that one that we didn't touch on. But okay. I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't really do a lot of homework for this one.
Yeah, I got it. Okay. So we could have continued on with the last show. So, you know, I've got a lot of data in my head, and I've also got some data in my hands here. But, like, you know, what I want to say is, like, okay, so people listening to the show can say, what's the alien agenda? They're interested. I think anybody who, like, clicked on the show already, like, probably believes in aliens, right? But I think a lot of people, you know, maybe some people listening, and they're like, well, the other show is interesting, you know, on the Black Lives Matter stuff. So maybe we'll just continue listening to these two morons and see what they have to say about alien agenda. But I think I said this on the first episode. I believe, and once again, you know, people are going to want facts, but I'll start giving some facts. But I believe that you know, anything related to alien technology and crashed alien craft and aliens on this planet is the most compartmentalized and secret, most secret knowledge out there. But that doesn't mean that you can't find it, right?
Now, why do you think it's so compartmentalized a secret?
Well, here's the thing. If I had to ask you a question, like, what's the purpose of governments? What do you think it really is? What would you say? What do they want the most? What is it that all politicians and governments and military, what are they looking for? What do they want?
Okay, like the government as it is today, power.
Right, power, right?
Yeah.
So, like, if you have a gun and somebody doesn't have a gun, you have power over that other person's life, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you have knowledge that the other person doesn't have, you have power, right?
Right.
If you're playing a chess game and you've got, like, you know, you've studied, your chess game's worth $1 million. That's powerful if you can win that chess game, you know, in a tournament, and you're the best chess player in the world. You're smart, right? And they create computers. So So if you think about this, right, like just use the situation in our world, forget about aliens. Say, so when, you know, folks from Europe went to America with the Indians, you know, who was more powerful and why?
The Native Americans. Well, I mean, I think that's a whole, and I get that you're like where you're going with it. You're saying they had guns.
Yeah, they did. Of course they had guns.
Yeah, I think that's a whole other conversation, though, and that might be a whole other topic because
Well, you may not agree.
You may not agree with that. Like, I see where you're going with it.
Well, look, you may not agree that, like, one person's got a bow and arrow and the other one's got a gun, and it's pretty clear to me that the guy with the gun usually can win against somebody with a bow and arrow. Now, you may think there's mental power and there's all these other powers and, you know, spiritual powers and all this other stuff, and, you know, and the powerful people with the Indians. I know where you're going, Chad. But the bottom line is, if someone's got a machine gun, and the Indians are standing there with bows and arrows, I got a little news for you. The guys with the guns are going to win. Okay. All right.
The Native Americans. But like, I mean, like I get what you're saying. I get the point of it. Like, so, but you're thinking like in terms of aliens.
Look, it's like in World War II.
It's power.
When Poland was going with using horses, you know, and swords and arrows, right. And they're fighting against the Germans with tanks. Guess who won that war? Do you know what I'm saying? The Germans with the tanks did. Okay. They just crushed them.
But if you look at like, I believe was it Haiti or Jamaica or one of the two, when Britain was trying to invade them, from what I understand, they were using Santeria, and that had actually helped shift things okay. over.
Chad, the bottom, look, you can have all this hocus pocus, people wave wands and believe that they're going to, you know, get some spirits from heaven. They're going to save them in a war. The bottom line is, most wars on this planet are won with like who has the bigger, stronger, smarter weapons. Okay, that's how wars are won. I mean, you know,
that's a lot of the wars right now. I agree with you for the topic on that to an extent.
So let's give me an example. I got a gun that can vaporize you, and you don't. Who's going to win the war? You know what I'm saying?
You still got to land the shot, but I mean,
I got a gun that is smart gun that says, as soon as it got one little image of you, it can run around circles and dig under. You know, look, the bottom line I'm trying to make is that
I get you.
You know, from a normal, sensible person, you know, in the military would not be going to your line of argumentation. They'd be saying, yeah, Tony's right. You know, technology is power, right?
I get what you're saying.
You get a vehicle, you know, when you get these Russian MiGs and stuff that like landed in Japan, these became like super, you know, when a nuclear missile drops in the ocean, it becomes like a major thing, you know, where the government tries to keep a secret. They try to send ships out. They got to get it, especially if it's and they want to get it before the enemy gets it, because guess what? If someone gets a nuclear bomb or doesn't have nuclear technology or they don't have our electronics, they can figure this shit out. That becomes like super. I mean, you see this in movies. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to know that, like, you know, everybody's trying to get the technology. Right?
I get your argument. I agree with the principle of your argument. For sure, because I get where you're going with it. I'm thinking a little on different sidelines, but I 100% agree with what you're saying in terms of the principle of it. If it's like the bringing the knife to a gunfight type thing.
Right. So therefore, why is it the most secret shit? Well, guess what? If it's alien technology and it got here, it's probably a little bit more advanced than the most of the shit that we got, right?
Yeah.
So that's why. So it becomes, so any government... Even if I'm wrong and there was never no aliens here, which I don't think that I am, and there's no crash ships or none of this shit. Even if something crashed like today in the United States, I can guarantee you that the military would be there. They wouldn't let everybody, Joe Schmidt, they wouldn't let you as a surfer dude walk up, hey man, can I go talk to the aliens and go take that little surf, that surf? No, they would shoot you. They would put a barbed wire fence around the place. They'd perimeterize it. They send in the special forces. They bring in the scientists. They want to figure out what it is because they want to know, is it a threat? Are they going? Because everybody, human beings are worried that like everybody's like them, right? Or like us, I should say, right?
Right.
You know, and they're worried that, you know, well, look what we do to people. We talked this about some of the other episode. I mean, human beings are just horrible. We treat people horribly. So, you know, aliens, you know, we're thinking like, well, if they're like us, we're screwed, right? So, okay. So get beyond the secrecy stuff. So it's really secret. The other thing is that they discovered, like with the Brookings Report in 1960, that when one, you know, and you don't need to be a rocket scientist to notice either, that when an advanced race meets a less advanced race, usually that less advanced race gets wiped out or assimilated, you know, into mm-hmm. into the more advanced race. It's kind of like, you know, the Indians living here, you know, they're living in camps and, you know, don't get me wrong, they have casinos now, but so
Tony, I don't agree even a lick with that analogy, but I get what you're saying in terms of that, but I don't agree with that analogy at all, but I want to keep on topic.
Well,
I don't, cause I mean, like if you look, actually the United States Constitution was taken, there's a federation of tribes, and that federation of tribes is where the United States Constitution actually came from. It was basically taken from them. There was a great harmony that existed there. So in terms of it, what we describe as advanced, I think that could be a very subjective term. Like look into them like they weren't advanced when, you know, there were no rapes amongst many tribe members. Women were respected. Children were taken care of. People were fed. There was no such thing as homelessness. Like mental illness in terms of schizophrenia was regarded as shamanism, and the people were respected and sought after for their wisdom in the tribe. So in terms of like that, I don't agree with, but I right. get what you're saying in terms of looking at it from this perspective.
Okay. Chad, I'm with you on this. Okay, brother. I'm with you on this. Like I read science fiction just because a society, right, has like what we consider, you know, you might consider, oh, you got technology, so you're advanced, right? That doesn't make you a good person, right? We talked about that.
Right.
That doesn't make you moral. You know, you could be like Nazi Germany. You got all the missiles and technology, but you know, you're killing people. You know, you're doing genocide. I mean, you're just evil.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So there's a difference between advancement in technology and like moral and ethical, you know, advancement. Okay. So maybe we could say that the Indians were very moral and ethically advanced. The problem is that you can be morally and ethically advanced, and you can have all this spirituality. But, you know, you could have some robot that walks up that was programmed by Elon Musk or whatever, right? It's designed for the military. The thing, you know, it has like a Tesla chip in it, probably a car chip, and the thing goes berserk, right? And so now this robot's running around with guns and everything, and it just murders all these spiritual great people. So the thing is, you can be spiritual, you can be living nice, but you can have something very evil that's very more advanced technologically than you that can wipe you out, okay? So, mm-hmm. so the thing is that the Indians may have been more advanced spiritually, but technically they weren't as advanced. So the technology can really shift the game here. So everybody's after this technology, in my opinion. But getting back to the Brookings report, they had said that, you know, this was done by NASA. What would happen if you meet an alien race? And they're worried that, like, well, you know, we're worried that they'll do to us what we did to the Indians, you know, that we're just going to control that. The Native Americans. Well, look, words, you can use words. To me, when I use the word Indian, I think of Native Americans. You know, one day they'll change the word to something else because there's, you know, to some other name. But, you know, for me, when I say Indians, I don't mean like India Indians. I mean like American Indians and Native Indians and Native Americans, you know, beings that were placed in that geographic location that we defined as, you know, that name, you know, that you know, lived there.
Yes, that was basically taught in the school books is what you're
well,
saying.
Well, you know, like, I can make my own definition. My definition is that the Indians are the people that I have in my brain, and I'm going to use telepathy to you so you understand what I'm talking about so that I don't have to keep explaining myself. All right. So, you know, and you make it, you know, we haven't explained all this. It's good because I think there's going to be people who like, you know, are going to be thinking like you and saying, well, you know, words, just, you know, we shouldn't use the word Indian, but I don't want to get into the semantics.
For sure.
Okay?
For sure.
All right. So
the Brookings report.
Yeah. So the Brookings report, right. It basically said that, you know, we should probably not tell people, you know, if there's aliens because it will, people, religions, and this and that, blah, 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 blah. They're going to get all nervous, you know, and it could affect religion. You know, people will stop believing in religion and society will break down. But that's not getting into the alien agenda. That's talking about, I kind of need to give that information so people understand, like, how the government thinks. The government classifies this stuff as the most top secret compartmentalized shit in the world, okay? Mm-hmm. Number one. Number two, they really don't want to tell people about it because then they're giving the power away and afraid that maybe they'll lose control over society. Okay.
Right.
I do believe that nowadays that there is a slow disclosure project, you know, so they'll slowly, you know, throw some tidbits out there, you know, to keep the masses kind of confused or happy, you know, and some of it might be used for nefarious purposes. But I think some of this stuff has been coming out. You know, you got shows like Ancient Aliens on the History Channel. Mm-hmm. You've had books and stuff that have been out for years, like Chariots of the Gods by Eric Von Däniken, that they
That's
did
an
a
excellent
movie.
Book.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. You also have Zachariah Sitchin, Sitchin or whatever his name is, that did all these books about, basically, he looked in Sumeria, right? And mm-hmm. discovered, I mean, like, there's stuff that you can't, like, explain. Like, when you, I mean, I can just use, like, one example, you know, one example that will show you that there was, you know, either really advanced societies before this one, but I think they were related to technology they got from aliens. And if you look at the Sumerian text, and a lot of this like leads up to the Genesis book, like a lot of stuff in Genesis, there are these texts out there that create the words for the, you know, the Old Testament. And in Genesis, they never really gave everybody everything in the Old Testament. A lot of these documents are like hidden by these like special priests that don't, you know, they do like, they're like people who, like, you know, study the stars, and they're priests, you know, they're like, you know, like they have their own observatories and shit. And I think it's all about power. They want to control it. But, you know, in these Sumerian texts, one of the things you can find, and Sitchin found this, is that there was a picture, you know, of the planets, right? And this is like thousands of years ago.
Yeah,
it's like 6,000 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Are you familiar with that at all? Or
I think I am. Yeah, actually. And if I'm not mistaken, there was even something with Pluto where they had called it ahead of time with Pluto, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
All
yeah.
this, yes. All this stuff was like, you know, along. So, and they call the Earth planet number 7, which is in the Sumerian text. Did you know that?
No, I had no idea on that. That's interesting. Okay. In terms of like, you know, this is a seventh Earth. The seventh planet from the star.
Well, that's the thing, you know, when you count people like for example in Japanese, like, you know, when you do it like a division, you say like 7 divided by 3, right? But there's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with saying using 3, say 3, you know, underneath 7. You know, you can start 3 first. I mean, and so I learned things by learning another language that, you know, something's a little different. So what they did was the Sumerians count the planets from the last planet inwards.
Oh, so if there's not, wow.
Yeah. So when you count in, but you're like, well, there's Pluto and you count in Earth, it's not going to be 7. It's going to be 6. You know, like, so what the hell are they talking about? Well, they think there's another planet beyond Pluto, planet like Nerubu or planet.
I was just going to say, is it Nerubia? Okay.
Nerubu, okay. Whatever.
Nerubu. And that's on a different axis, though, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct as well?
Well, like, it's got a weird orbit, they say. Uh-huh. Okay. So, but the thing was, this is like thousands of years ago, right? And they looked at where the size of the planets were and the relative distances between the different orbits. And people were like, holy shit, it's actually accurate. Now, how could you know this thousands of years ago,
right,
unless you were out in space, right?
Right.
So either our previous ancestors had spaceships or aliens came. Okay? Mm-hmm. There's really no other conclusion if this is an accurate diagram. I mean, the odds are just, you know,
well,
virtually impossible.
You could have remote viewing stuff, remote viewing things, I think, could potentially, but I think or, you know, connecting into the Akashic records and things of that nature. But I do think, I think it's a very strong case for alien visitation on this planet, or well, extraterrestrial life on
right.
this planet, for sure.
So
for sure.
I agree. I think that you could have done remote viewing and figured that out. But I mean, that is a possibility, but that's some heavy duty remote viewing. And they also put it
yeah.
in the text, you know, like the colors, like the different colors of Uranus and Neptune. We didn't notice until we sent craft out, you know, in the last 50 years to these planets, you know, that actually this stuff was correct. So all that Sumerian text, so you start saying, okay, so, you know, holy shit. And there was an interesting story. I think it was Babylon, right? Where these guys decided to make this, the Tower of Babel. You've heard about that, right?
Yeah.
They were talking, if you read those texts, they were talking about putting a spaceship in there, okay, to meet the gods. And they think the gods were like, had a spaceport in Mars, the way it looked like. And they were using Mars to land on Mars and they'd come to Earth or whatever. And they wiped that shit down. I mean, these aliens supposedly like took this thing out. So, and they, you know, so, but when you read these Sumerian texts, the way Sitchin did, you know, it looks like there was a group called the Anunnaki that were on this other planet, and they came here every like 3,600 years. And at one time they had, they were bringing with them another satellite, like their moon, and it, because it's, you know, you got a whole huge planet supposed to be like 3 to 5 times the size of Earth that would come through our galaxy. I mean, it would create all kinds of havoc. That's why they think maybe the floods occurred. They think that, you know, every so many thousands of years, these disasters occur, you know, and one of the planets like cracked into where between Mars, you know, and Jupiter, there's this asteroid belt. They think that like two planets cracked and, you know, created all this shit. So, you know, it's very fascinating. Now, this is just one story that I find, like, if you take the time to read this stuff, leads me to believe that, you know, aliens came to Earth. And what they did was, you know, if you look at, like, the history of Earth, do you know how old Earth is, by the way?
I've heard estimates of about 7 billion. If I'm not mistaken on it, but
no, it's like the Earth is something like, you know, 4.5 billion years old. Okay.
Yeah. I still question the accuracy of any estimate like that, being honest, but I think it's just too much room for subjectivity and kind of interference.
Well,
with it.
They do radioactive carbon dating and all that, and they think they're 500,000, you know, I mean, they agree that they could be off a little bit, but I think these things are, you know, within like, you know, 50 or 100 million years. I mean, I think they're reasonably accurate. I could be wrong. But if you look at like the earliest fossil evidence on Earth, it was like, you know, dates back 3.7 billion years ago, right? So like 4.5 billion is 4,500 million years ago, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like over like, you know, 1,000 million years later, you know, I mean, then you start seeing fossil records and all this other stuff. So if you look at the time that humanity was on Earth, it's a very short period of time. You know, we got here like 200,000 BC. Okay. That's when Homo sapiens first got here. And, you know, only in the last, you know, like if you think about the technology, you know, they had pyramids like 2600 like BC, right? That's when, you know, the pyramids were here and stuff like that. I mean, we didn't start like the technology or anything. God, I mean, like if you think about it, like what do we have in like the 18, like 100 years ago, you know, like, I mean, compared to what we got now. And I tend to believe that a lot of this became recently, this really advancement in technology came after there was more involvement with probably, you know, alien cultures. When you hear about Roswell in 47, if you look at technology advancement, you know, after like World War II, it's massive. It's massive.
It even probably during World War II, I think from what I understand, there was some crazy stuff going on then too.
Well, a lot of the things that, like, you know, like Hitler was involved with the aliens and, you know, and, yeah, and whatnot. The topic today is like the alien agenda. So I would argue that, like, if the Sumerian texts are correct, there was at least one race that their agenda was, they talked about, you know, their symbol was this intertwining snake, by the way, that they used for like medicine, like these Anunnaki that they were talking about. And it looks like the double helix. It looks like DNA. And if you read their texts and you read Sitchin's books, talks about basically that they modified mankind. So when it talks about like Adam and Eve, you take, you know, Eve was made from the rib of Adam. And it sounds like that they just took each other's DNA and played around with it. And, you know, from a man, you made a woman or whatever. I think a lot of this is like symbology, you know, allegory and whatnot, when they talk about these fiery chariots coming from the sky and stuff like that, the stuff that, you know, Eric Von Däniken talked about. So, you know, what's the alien agenda? I think if it was what the Sumerians said, it was actually, they were just trying to get gold. They wanted to create slaves to get gold, you know, out of Africa. So they took basically Cro-Magnon man or whatever and just beefed them up a little bit to Model A, to Model B, to Model C or whatever, you know, give them an upgrade and use the folks, you know, to dig for gold. But
what do you think about Atlantis and Lemuria and any civilizations that existed prior to them? Do you what do you think? I guess would be the best question in that.
Well, I think it was Aristotle and Plato who talked about these cities. And I think Aristotle had it in his books. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if it was like a hybridization, you know, of aliens and humans, that maybe they were doing studies, or maybe there was just this beautiful race that had technology and everything. It doesn't mean it's beautiful, because I mean, technology doesn't make you beautiful people. As you mentioned earlier,
right.
You know, it's your spirituality, it's your morality, it's your ethics that I think creates a beautiful person. But I think a survivable species, you know, like I think any alien species that survives, we shouldn't get fooled in thinking that like, if you're just a good person, you're going to survive. You know what I mean? What I mean by that is, if you're just an ethical and moral and nice person, you know, if you need also be strong, right?
Right. Plato talks about that a lot in terms of what is true leadership. A true leader is not only intellectual, but they also are strong and they can defend themselves too. Because otherwise, the just strong people can take over the intellects, and that just the intellects can trick the strong people. So you got to be both.
That's it. That's why I think like the Native American Indians, you know, lost that war, and people could argue now that they're winning it by getting their casinos. But years ago, I mean, they had maybe the intellectual superiority and that they were nice people and spiritual, but they weren't able to defend themselves against the guns. So, but I think maybe Atlanteans, if there ever was really a place, sounds like there might have been. I think it, you know, sunk in the ocean. So they could have been alien, like I said, hybrids or something like that. But there's so much influence. If you look at like things like the pyramids and old batteries that are found and old clocks that are found, and the fact that you have like a chart from the Sumerians of all the planets, and they actually add a 10th planet. And then these texts, you know, that talk about what the planets are like, and all, I mean, it's just too much to be coincidental. So it leads me to believe that there probably was aliens. I tend to believe that there's multiple, you know, races coming to this planet. And, you know, if people want to dig more into this, you know, there's all kinds of, there's a guy named Philip Schneider. I don't know if you ever heard of him. His name is Phil Schneider, and his last name is spelled.
I feel like I've heard of him actually.
Well, his last name is spelled S C H N E I D E R. And the interesting thing is that he talked about the alien agenda. Okay, And he was a geologist, supposedly an engineer that worked at S1 and S4, and he was building.
Wait, what are S1 and S4?
Oh, I'm sorry. The military locations out near Groom Lake, Nevada, that supposedly housed, you know, alien craft and, you know, do technology work for, you know, the stealth aircraft and things like that. They supposedly moved them to a new location. I'm sure there's still some work being done there. Bob Lazar, you know, who left, was pretty famous on that. But Phil, you know, he left in like 1995 or something, and he talked about building these underground bunkers, you know, and how they had like met aliens underground, and he got pissed off. And the problem with these engineers, and me being one, like I know them, is that a lot of times they got like really good technical skills, but their social skills and ability. And I probably have, it's not very good. Not very good. You've probably seen that stereotype, right?
Oh yeah, I've seen that stereotype played out before. It's you know, everybody's got their own thing, their own, you know, we all got our own gifts. Like didn't Einstein say, if you judge a fish by its ability to fly, you'll live your whole life thinking that fish will live its whole life by thinking it's stupid. And
right.
Yeah, we all just got our own gifts and ways of relating with the world.
So what he talked about was these deep underground military bases, you know, and he was saying there's like 130 plus of them in the United States and, you know, 1,000 throughout the world. And he designed like special charges to drill holes and blast holes. And, you know, and there's these underground mining devices. And the interesting thing is he just lost it in like 19, I think it was like 1995 or 94, 95. He started running around the country talking about the alien agenda and the New World Order and black budgets and secret military bases and all that, that shit. Right. And he's walked around with some metal that he said was made in space, you know, and, you know, some of this stuff sounds a little bit crazy, but when you dig into it, you're like, holy shit, maybe it's true. And he was talking about like indulging.
What was some of the stuff that you found that was kind of convincing for you?
Well, I'm going to, you know, I mean, like he talked about these drilling devices, right? And when you do the research, there actually are these special drilling devices that can like heat the walls and build. And you look at like, I'm not surprised because like the military, you know, builds all kinds of crazy shit. But, you know, why wouldn't you? Like, why wouldn't you build, like, underground bases? I mean, I know there's underground bases.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, there's for sure underground bases. It'd be stupid if they didn't have them.
they have them, you know?
Yeah,
and
of course.
And they have to have engineers that work on them. And when I look at stuff, like, he talks about this place in New Mexico called Dulce, D-U-L-C-E. And he talked about there was some wars it took on in 1979, you know, between the aliens and the people had a big war. And he got involved in some of this shit.
A war between the aliens and the humans?
Well, they supposedly create this alien-human base that's there. Why? I don't know. They're doing all this research. I mean, I know this is going to sound like really off-the-wall crazy shit, but this is the topic of this.
It's starting to.
You know? So it's a joint compound in Dulce. You know, we're going to do that, you know, that pilot for the show. That was the place I was telling you about that maybe you should go to. The only bad thing is you said you don't want to do anything that's going to be dangerous. So I just want to let you know, I'll let you and the people listening know right now that a year after Phil started talking about the show, he committited suicide in his house.
You know? How did he commit suicide in his house? What was
the they shot himself like three times in the head or something like that. You know?
like three times in the back of the head kind of
something
thing?
Something like that. They found his body, you know, dying in his house and, you know, he was telling people, if you find me dead, I'm, you know, it's definitely not a suicide, but you know, it whatever. So, you know, but I'm not joking. The guy was found dead. Okay. Like
yeah.
A year after he's going around saying all this shit. I'm, you know, maybe people would argue, well, you know, he's crazy. That's why he was saying it. And that's why he committed suicide. But I find it really interesting that a lot of time people talk about military shit like that or anything. And they just like, it's like the guy, James Forrestal, you know, he just jumps
is that James Forrester? Was he the one working with Eisenhower, or was he the military pilot during World War II?
No, Forrestal was, I think, the head of like our, you know, Defense Department during like Truman during the alien things. You know, during you never heard of you heard about how he died or whatever.
What was this exactly? So he's the head of the U.S. Defense Department during Truman. What happened?
Right. Well, basically, he was supposedly involved in the whole UFO thing when they discovered this UFO in Roswell, and he freaked out. And I think he wanted to tell people, you know, what the heck was going on. And then they put him in like a military insane asylum, basically. And somehow he jumps from like 11th story or 16th story floor to Bethesda Naval Hospital. You know,
wasn't that through like a barred window? With a straitjacket on?
Yeah, somebody I think cut a hole in the barbed hole window and they threw him through it or something like that. I don't
know. Yeah, but he still had a straitjacket on, if I'm not mistaken.
You know, I mean, that would have been, I mean, like, look, you don't want to make something funny out of somebody's desk, but I could only imagine what it would have been like seeing some agents trying to throw this guy through the window with his straitjacket on, right? You know, right. They'd probably argue that he jumped out the window. But you look at these weird deaths. But getting back, you know, to Snyder, you know, he was talking about, you know, the New World Order and like, you know, the United States is in bed with these aliens and blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, and then he's found dead. But Dulce, New Mexico is interesting. There's been, you know, people, a lot of the ufologists have studied it. There was a guy, an engineer, another guy, and I forgot who it was. He lived in New Mexico and swore that he was getting, you know, radio signals, from the place in Dulce, New Mexico. And they ended up like trying to kill this guy. Was another like engineer running a business. And I forgot Paul Benowitz. That's the guy's name. Paul Benowitz.
What kind of radio signals?
Well, he thought he was picking up signals between the UFOs and the base down there. You know, that there was a secret, you know, Dulce base. and he was picking up like radio signals. And, you know, basically the guy, Paul, I'll read something to you. It says rumors of base in Dulce began in 79. Paul Benowitz, a local electrician with a doctorate in physics, so he's not exactly stupid, right? Was researching classified government programs at Kirkland Air Force Base in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Part of his research involved construction and monitoring of sensitive radio equipment. In 1979, he began intercepting strange radio transmissions. From what he could tell, the communications were between the government organizations and another party, which he ultimately determined were not from this planet. And they came up near the Dulce base. And I don't know how this guy died. I'm gonna take a quick look, but
yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if he got shot or something. You know, I mean, like, you put the guy's name in like a search, and the first thing that pops up is like his death, you know?
I'm interested what would be indicative of other life based on the radio signals, you know, like what would, you know, versus, oh, maybe it was just Russia or, you know what I mean? Like what would lead that person to believe it was like, you know, something extraterrestrial versus just another culture or language or something on Earth?
Well, you know, I mean, like if you're an electrical engineer, which I am, by the way, I mean, you can sometimes figure out like where the, you know, where you can triangulate, you know, on the transmission. Right. Uh-huh. So he probably said, well, it's not coming from Russia. It's coming from like, you know, 50,000 feet up in the air. And you're like, but we don't normally fly airplane at 50,000 feet or 80,000 feet. Right. You know what I'm saying? So, right. And then the guy, I'm pretty sure the guy got like killed or something. Benowitz, I'll read something here for you. Benowitz's affair became so heated and controversial within the UFO community. Skeptics wrote serious books about how conspiracy theories have affected the American conscience. You know, they just, you know, you don't know about it, but they worried about, you know, it's not big news now, but, they think MK Ultra might've been involved. So, you know what? Anytime that something's like maybe true, they try to throw in some crappy bullshit in there so to confuse people, you know? Right. So
some of it's true, some of it's not. And you don't know what to believe. It almost negates everything because some of it might be true, but then if you got enough of the stuff that's not, then you just kind of lump it all in as untrue.
Well, what they did was, here's what I heard he did. He went to the government, right? This is not, my brain starting to refresh. I think all the government brainwashing and erasing is starting to come back. It's slowly coming back. But, you know, I think what happened to him was he was getting these signals. And what does he do? He goes to the government. He tries to help them out. Like, you know, I think there's some special group talking to the aliens or whatever. And then what they do is they then try to, like, they got to discredit this guy, right? Yeah. So then they start doing their own counter espionage shit, like giving him phony stuff. And, you know, so then they were giving him crazy reports, supposedly, to freak the guy out. And then next thing, they tried admitting him to like a psychiatric hospital, because that's like the real winner, right? You say,
right.
Oh, talking about aliens. He's seeing things in his sleep, right? You know, and, mm-hmm. you know, he's seeing lights and, you know, and maybe they gave him some of LSD from the MK Ultra and the guy, you know, goes nuts one day. So they want to get him in that psychiatric hospital so then they can drug him up and then it's all over. Right.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, the family said he was in good shape, but he got discharged and then he publicly stated he would have nothing to do with UFOs. Right. So, you know, it probably happened. They get him in there. Like, hey, you know, Mr. Benowitz, you know, if you don't play the game here, you know, we're going to kill you and your family or whatever. And then, of course, he gets out and he says he's not going to have anything to do with UFOs. But, you know, they think that he was living as a recluse, from what I'm reading here, until his death in 2003. I mean, they probably scared the shit out of him. You know what I mean?
Oh, it wouldn't be hard to do.
No.
Like, it wouldn't be hard to do at all.
No, not at all. So getting back to the alien agenda, right? I mean, if you were an alien, what would your agenda be?
I might be different than people, but like, I mean, if I'm an alien from another planet coming to Earth, what would my agenda be?
Yeah. Like, you know, you act like an alien half the time that I talk to you anyhow, Chad, you know? So like, I want to know, like, if you're an alien, what would you, and you were an alien, you had all these powers, what would you, what would be your agenda?
I was going to say some bullshit, but I'd say I'll stop it there. Honestly, raising consciousness, you know, like helping people to, like kind of like the last show we had, I think helping people to evolve in any way that could be done, but still allowing for free will at the same time. And then hopefully that will lead towards a more peaceful, unified world. That's still strong and open and creative and, you know, explorative.
Good. Because you know what I did before this show? I meditated. I asked the aliens to speak through you as to what they would really want to do. So you just answered what they would want to do.
Nice. Well, you know, it's not hard when you're one of them. So.
Oh, you're one of them? Now you're in trouble, pal. You haven't heard of Tony Dodd, have you? Have you heard of Tony Dodd?
No, it was Tony Dodd.
Oh my God. You're going to have another Tony after you, man. Then you're in really big trouble. Tony Dodd is like, I think, a military and police officer, you know, in the UK and big into the UFO community. And he talked about, he's like an ex-British police officer, okay? Mm-hmm. And some of the stuff that he did, he talked about how, like, the United States and the world had, like, special alien hunters. And this was like also some of the most top secret shit that if they could find anybody who was like sneaking around the world as an alien, they'd hunt you down and like try to kidnap you and stuff like that.
Jesus. And he was a top guy in the UK military?
I would say he's a top guy, but he's an ex-British police officer, which, you know, I mean, he's not like.
When you say British police officer, I mean the same thing as like a San Diego County police officer or British police officer special forces kind of thing.
I think he had military connections from what I read, but in any case, okay. He was a big UFO investigator. And that was one of the things that he said to people that, you know, that they were actually aliens living on Earth and that it was very dangerous, you know, for them, you know, that they would just hunt these aliens down and you know, try to kill them or kidnap them. I mean, it makes sense, right? I mean, if you know, I mean, they're breaking immigration rules, right?
I would need to see your galactic passport, please.
Excuse me, can I see your galactic passport?
Yeah, you know.
Go ahead.
I say just the thing is we start going into space more, which is what's happening now, and it's going to become a regular thing in the very soon, very near future here.
We're going to go to space
travel.
Right?
Yeah. Space travel
Chad,
and everything
Chad,
else.
You've got this
hold on. But I really hope we move for exploration and not conquest. I really hope like that something shifts in our consciousness to where we're not planting flags and then fighting over them, over lines in the sand as we move and expand into other places. What were you saying? What was I missing again?
Well, what I was going to say is you keep forgetting on all the shows I've said this, the aliens aren't letting humans off planet Earth. Okay. Don't you get that? Yeah. You know, and the only ones, and I'm going to tell you right now, anybody listening to this show is like, wow, you know, they're in some like deep ground underground bunker and they're like, wow, we finally got a show with people who sound crazy, but they kind of know what's going on, Joe. We got to be careful, man. The secrets are coming out, you know? But what I would say to those secret military workers, you know, you might be working on some like anti-gravity device, or you're trying to figure out like how element 115 is going to be created in your lab.
Zero point energy.
Well, you know, they probably got energy and things that are working. And you know, I'm going to say this right now: any aliens that allowed the American government, any government, to get like these alien craft and this technology. And you think that, you know, anybody thinks that we're going to be flying these spaceships to like other planets and there's nothing bad in the future coming. I think they got it all wrong. I guarantee there's got to be some kind of like galactic federation. That's just like, we'll just like vaporize these things or, you know, stop them. But they're wondering why, like when like a satellite goes to Mars, it just disappears, you know, gets blown up. I can guarantee you that a lot of that is basically the I don't know if I'd call them good aliens, but people have like maybe more of a moral consciousness to say, we just can't let these apes, you know, leave this planet and do the same shit to other worlds. I mean, seriously, Chad, I personally, I don't think we should leave planet Earth. I really don't. I really don't.
I think there's a couple things on that. One, I think apes are probably safer to go than humans at this point in evolution.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially if you talk to Coco, you know, which is, I mean, I'm serious on that. You know, the gorilla who was taught sign language, his final message for humanity was freaking beautiful and heartwarming, actually, and sad at the same time.
What did he say? You have to illuminate me.
We got to pull our shit together. We got to collaborate, unite. We got to stop killing each other. We got to respect the planet. We got to take care of the planet. Planet's in a deep state of disarray at this moment due to how we're treating it and interacting with it and basically mining it for resources. And it's time as a human species and a consciousness to respect the planet and treat everything as sacred again. And it's not too late, but we got to pull our shit together and get it moving. I think talking about the Intergalactic Federation right there, South Park had a free, and then I do want to touch on the thing you just mentioned, but South Park had a hilarious episode where they basically boxed in the human planet. They put the force field around like you're talking about after everybody on the planet, except for the child. Everybody else on the planet lied, killed an alien, and they took the space cash. And then they stole space cash from the UFO. And then they're all of a sudden they're building hospitals and water parks and everything across the planet. But the countries are still kind of arguing and bickering against each other. Still, right. Aliens come back, and then you idiots. There's no such thing as space cash. It's just whatever you say it's worth.
I know.
But the last thing I do think in terms of venturing out, I agree we got a lot of things on this planet that we need to fix. But I do think if you take a look at, I do think the space industry is phenomenal. It offers a lot of opportunity in terms of growth and expansion for consciousness, as well as a collaborative nature, a collaborative interaction amongst all people across all lands. For a few reasons. One, it's an infinite industry. Space is infinite. Yeah. It's an infinite industry. Just even if you look at R&D, it's an infinite industry. So right there is something that's not going to ever, ever, ever reach a stalemate in terms of advancements in technology or exploration or anything. Right. And it also would help to serve in terms of as we continue on the planet and we continue to the population continues to increase. You and I have gone into a whole lot of things on this, and I know we don't agree at all in terms of overpopulation. I think in terms of if we were look at the space exploration, then that would solve our overpopulation problem in a heartbeat. And it would give people something really truly inspiring to work for and collaborate with each other on. One of the reasons I say that too is a lot of people need a purpose in life. You look at people who have addictions, you look at people who are down in the dumps or whatever. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they just want a purpose. They want a job. They want to feel useful. And, you know, I noticed this at my work at the charity. You know, people come up and they'd be doing their thing. They'd be, you know, using the money they got to, you know, go and feed an addiction or whatever. But when you gave them that opportunity, not always at all. A lot of people, at times it was a hand up too, you know, but even when they were working, even if they were doing it to serve an addiction, while they were working, there was nothing they took more pride in than their job and the work they did, as well as like how that reflected upon themselves. So if we have something collaborative like that space exploration and we evolve consciously, like our last guest Shofar was talking about, then I think we have something beautiful for the planet to participate and grow and expand in a beautiful way.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, I agree with you that the space appears to be, you know, infinite. And so there could be infinite resources, but, you know, we might discover that there's also an infinite amount of other races that, you know, have their territory. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it may not be as easy to just, it's kind of like living on planet Earth and like, hey, let's just go to find America. And there's Indians, right? And there's Mayans and people living in actual India, you know, when they were thinking they were trying to look for a route to India, they found the Indians, you know, and they call them Indians, but they were really Native American Indians. They weren't, you know, from the landmass that we now consider India. You know, so, but like, it's kind of like, I don't know, if you can't take care of your own home, you're not going to be able to take care of somebody else's home, right?
Right.
I don't think you can, if you don't take care of your finances or your education, you're not going to be able to educate or help somebody else financially. So right. I think that, like, if we don't take care of this planet, which I think this planet is in really bad, bad shape. I mean, I think these temperatures you're seeing, it's not going to end. It's not going to end pretty. But, you know,
if things don't change, we have, you know, the potential is there for both is what we choose.
No, you're right. I don't want to be negative. I mean, but I am being negative in the sense that I don't have a lot of confidence. I think that humanity has to evolve first. I do not think that we should be, even if we found a way today, like if the average person, not none of these secret anti-gravity devices, but like there was a publicly available anti-gravity device that worked, you know, and you could actually build a ship with enough oxygen still and everything to get to another planet, come back and not kill yourself from all the other problems that are involved in interstellar space travel. But like, if we could get to another planet and you're like, oh, wow, this planet looks like a good place to live. I do not think we should be colonizing another planet right now. I just really think that it's just like,
you're spreading a problem.
You're just going to create, you're just going to pollute that planet and ruin that one. And then eventually you're going to connect up with the Klingons, and they're not going to be exactly happy about you trying to take their planet. They got weapons and things like that. You know what I'm saying? So I think spiritually we talked about this in the other show. I think more and more it's really the evolution of mankind. I mean, you need to be strong. You can't just be like some guy preaching, you know, live and let live and the golden rule, but then somebody's got a gun and they're going to shoot you in the head. You need to be able to protect yourself from some idiot who wants to shoot you. But I think we need the evolution. Now, getting back to the alien agenda concept here, like we're trying to talk about alien agenda, I think if people listening to the show are interested in this stuff, I think they should go out and read like Chariots of the Gods. They should look for Zachary Sitchin is his name. It's Sitchin, and his first name is Zacharia, Zecharia. I think they should read up on him. They should read up on Chariots of the Gods. I think
one thing related to the Chariots of the Gods, I think Chariots of the Gods was an excellent book, and some of the evidence they provided was phenomenal and pretty hard to dispute. But I would say one thing that I picked up on the book from reading it, and this isn't a knock, but I think it's just like something that maybe people can practice in their life across the board anytime they're presented with new information, is which a lot of people probably already do, so I might be just speaking to the choir. But I noticed one technique used in that book was the if A, then B. If A equals B, then B equals C, then A has to equal C. And that seemed to be a little bit of the how the information was presented to automatically assume A equals C when no, actually A could equal Z or X or X1 or X5.
I don't think it was like a scientifically, you know, approved, you know, doctorate thesis or anything like that. I mean, the book, I don't know if you know this, but how many millions of copies of that book do you think sold like between then and like 2017 or 18 or whatever? You have any idea?
Man, I'd be curious. No, you any idea?
70 million copies.
70 million.
Right.
70 million. Holy crap.
That worldwide. Okay.
Holy crap. So that's people, awesome.
People aren't totally stupid about the concept. And that's why, and I think, you know, Zacharia, you know, Sitchin has probably sold, you know, many millions of books too. But so I think people are kind of aware. I think the government wants to keep this secret and it wants everybody to be crazy about it. But the alien agenda, I think, has some scary, nefarious stuff to it. You know, like most of the stuff that I've seen, I'm not saying that I'm 100% believer of this, but I mean, the rabbit hole leads to that there have been multiple alien, you know, races that have visited the Earth. Some have actually made deals with our U.S. government. I wouldn't be surprised if they made deals with other governments, right? Mm-hmm. And then that if you dig down this rabbit hole even further, that the human race has been modified, you know, over the last 200,000 years. You know, they think these aliens have been here for like 150,000 or whatever more years, you know, and maybe been even here longer, like 450,000 years ago, like actually creating the planet, you know, some of these guys. So maybe some of these guys got involved in creating the planet and they left, and then other aliens come and say, hey, you know, we found these, you know, these humanoids and we'll use them for digging gold. And then the other one says, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. That's evil. And, you know, we should eliminate them, but no, we want them as slaves. You know, so maybe it's some kind of little war going on, but I tend to believe that there's high probability that humanity has been modified and if not, and or created by these aliens. There's a concept of panspermia where, like, you know, meteorites can fly for millions and, you know, billions of miles, and, you know, and life inside these meteors can survive, and that they hit the planet. Maybe somebody, you know, from another galaxy, you know, shipped out some meteorites and they hit the Earth, and that helped create, you know, the Earth. But I think we're just like a mutt. I think I've said this on the other show, that we're probably a mix of, you know, it's probably panspermia. There's, you know, alien hybridization. There's maybe what we would consider good, because good is really a relative term, you know, what we would consider beneficial to us. And there's probably alien races that probably aren't beneficial to us. And I think the agenda, you know, if I had to pick like the long-term agenda, it's probably to evolve mankind to some kind of end in mind. The question is it the end that we will be happy with, you know, or is it an end basically for these aliens that are involved? And I think the United States government, all these governments are probably shitting their panties. And that's why they're spending billions of dollars and trillions of dollars on underground bunkers, trying to get the technology as quickly as possible to control the world and find a way to fight these aliens. And I think that if that's done at the expense of morals and ethics, I think that if we find aliens that have like morals and ethics, we should give up the nuclear weapons and be a more peaceful society rather than trying to screw everybody. So, and that's really it for me for this podcast on the alien agenda. I'm hoping that we can do like maybe, you know,
we have to do part three.
Well, we'll do a part three. And you can continue if you want, Chad, but I'm also hoping that we do this pilot that you and I were talking about, you know?
Yeah, we're for sure doing it. It's just a matter of how soon it's out. But yeah, we're for sure doing the pilot.
Do you want to say the name of the pilot? Do you want to tell people what the pilot's going to be? You want to tell them the name of the series?
No, not yet, actually. We'll tell them in the next, as it gets a little closer on it. But
I hope Netflix or somebody picks it up. I'm not just paying, that could be anybody, but I mean, I think that what we talked about, that storyline is going to be so cool.
Yeah, it's going to be fun for sure, man. And we'll definitely be sharing more, you know, in the very, very soon future. Definitely before the end of the year, for sure, we'll be sharing more. Yeah, I think we got enough here too, man, where I think we could talk on part three in terms of, I'd love to and have a part three where we start exploring more reports from pilots, naval pilots, you know, like commercial aircraft pilots, and different communications, explore crop circles more, explore some of the stuff in terms of the radioactivity we receive from other dimensions, not our dimensions, but other locations in space. And not to mention what has been found at the crop circle, all kinds of stuff. And
why don't
I think,
we do an episode just on, I love crop circles. Why don't we do an episode on that? Because I was going to write a book a long time ago called The Science of the Circle.
That's something cool. Cool. That's a cool title.
The Science Behind the Circles or something like that. You know, the crop
circles. That's a very cool title.
You know, and talking about the science behind it, because the mathematics behind those crop circles, the ones that I think that are real. I mean, some could argue that none of them are real, but I think that there's some are real and some are actually man-made. But there's mathematics, there is answers to communications. I think people are like, well, where are the aliens? I mean, I think aliens are very, I don't know what's the word for it, but elegant. And what I mean by that is like, the elegance of the aliens that are visiting Earth and communicating with Earthlings is elegant, because I don't think a lot of people can handle this shit. Number one, right? Mm-hmm. It'll just freak people out. So they can't go out like on CNN and show like, hey, this is, you know, Borzak, you know, he's got 50 eyes and he eats, you know, people that look like humans, but don't worry, they're not really humans. They don't have brains and that's what they eat, but that's why they came here, but they're not going to eat it. You know, people are going to freak out, right? You know, but what I mean by the elegance is that I think that if you're spiritual enough, right, as a person and have the ability to this cosmic consciousness and whatnot, that aliens like, sure, I'll fucking communicate with you. You know, just don't freak everybody out. Just don't freak everybody out with it. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like, you know, earlier I was just kind of joking, but I was saying, oh, let Chad speak for the aliens, you know? and you spoke some beautiful stuff, you know, and it almost makes me believe that maybe they did get into your head.
I appreciate it, man.
So I'm going to end up that you did do your homework. Your homework was supposed to get abducted last week, and it looks like it happened.
You just don't remember. This is the first episode I've actually done my homework then.
You did your homework. You just don't remember being it. I said, Chad, go get yourself abducted. And you're like, how do I do that? And I'm like, I don't know. Just go to sleep at night and see if you wake up, you know, with like 20 lost hours or something.
You'll figure it out.
Well, thanks for doing your homework.
You bet, man. I appreciate the show. Definitely appreciate all the listeners for tuning in again. And as always, at least I would always recommend, you know, find your own truth, do your own research, and hopefully that leads to you living your best, most peaceful, joyful, healthy life. Anything you want to close with, Tony?
No, this is great. We just did our 10 episodes. Now we're going to go live. And so people don't know this, but you and I waited until we got 10 episodes to shoot them live. So we made our goal, my friend. Thank you for
pretty cool, for
sticking it out. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you too, Tony. I appreciate you, man.
All right. Take care, everyone.
All right. You too. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.